Good morning. I'm glad to worship the Lord with you this morning. I'm Becky Hansen. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I'm not the preaching pastor. Our preaching pastor, Paul Olson, and his family have been able to disappear for some private time. So I welcome you to worship with us. One of my desires as a pastor is that you would begin to learn and to handle accurately the Word of God. And so as I begin my sermon, I'm going to ask you to pull out your Bible. The scripture will be on the screen today, but my desire would be that you flip the pages and learn to accurately handle the Word of God. We're going to Mark 8 this morning. For 13 years, I worked as a trauma chaplain in the largest Trauma 1 hospital over in St. Paul. This was a period of time where I moved in and out of rooms where there was loss, there was grief, there was tremendous sickness. And I remember that day, after having worked, that I was diagnosed with small white spots called MRSA. It is a superbug infection that is killed by a super drug. But then it appeared on my body a second time and a third time. The fifth time, I was hospitalized with the infection in my right foot. But by the sixth time, that infection in the foot had gained momentum and was up in my ankle, and it claimed a toe. It was graphic, it was horrible, painful, and I felt remarkably unclean. Restrictions were imposed on my work, restrictions were imposed on my time with people. And that I could laugh at that because people didn't want to be up close and personal with me. Nobody wanted this disease called MRSA. The very words of it horrified them. Months later, I was declared clean by the infectious disease doctor. I fully regained my life, my activity level, my up close and personal connecting with people. However, much later, my youngest brother was going to have heart surgery, and he made a call to me that said, "Beck, I don't want you to come. I don't want MRSA on top of anything else." I wanted to explain again that the doctors had cleared me, but I understood what he was saying. But I felt that sting of shame. MRSA had defined me. This morning, we're going to look at a man in the Bible, the leper. We're going to look at him intently, and we're going to look at his story. He is a dead man walking, and his amazing encounter with Jesus. This morning, my hopes are that this story, you will encounter Jesus Christ for the first time or in a fresh way. Open your Bible with me, would you please, to Matthew chapter 8. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the book of Matthew is what we call a gospel account, which means good news. The context of chapter 8 is that Jesus has just spent chapters 5 through 7 preaching the best sermon any of us have ever heard, Sermon on the Mount. And at this juncture, Jesus is coming down the mountain with a great throng of people. Let's go ahead and let's read together. When Jesus came down the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Would you join me as we open in prayer? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. May your Holy Spirit fill our houses May your Holy Spirit fill our hearts as we seek you, rest in you, and trust in you. We give you our worship as praise for who you are. Amen. Pay attention to those who pressed in around Jesus. Pay attention to the senses. There's a lot of noise going on with the crowd as they jostle for position, as they try to get closer to Jesus. Suddenly, the crowd separates. The only words punctuating the air are unclean, 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 unclean. As the leper comes into their midst, drops to his knees in front of Jesus, and not just your average leper. Luke, the physician, in the book of Luke, gives us a medical opinion about this man. He was full of leprosy. Catch the people. Catch the picture as all of these clean people scatter, outraged, as they watch this man come into their midst. The audacity that this man had with coming towards Jesus. They watched him fall at the feet of Jesus in worship. They watched him move around without any hesitation, without any doubt. As he said the words, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The crowd were spectators as Jesus looks fully at this man in the face. Up close, personal encounter between a man who's drowning in leprosy and Jesus as God, who came to earth that we may have life with him and in him. Jesus, who would begin that journey to the cross to give up his life, to bring life to us, forgiveness, salvation to men, and to this man, the leper. In the intimacy of that moment, the man's misery meets the Lord's mercy. Let me say that again. We know that cry in our own spirits when our misery meets the Lord's mercy. Jesus crosses cultural boundaries, forgiveness and salvation boundaries, mandates from the law, and he reaches out and touches into the life of that man. And Jesus, the one called Emmanuel, which is defined as God with us. God draws near to us, and Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean." And the man was healed instantly. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Why did Jesus say this? Why did Jesus ask him not to say anything? And the reason is because Jesus did not want the miracle of healing to get in the way of his message of good news. Now, why I say that is that Jesus came for a purpose. His message is to reconcile men to their God. He brings that to us through his work on the cross. And so Jesus directs the leper, go to the priest, who in turn would declare him clean and restore him to the community life. But people, there's more to this story than meets the eye. And what makes it so impactful is that inside of that story of the leper is your story and my story. For the story really foreshadows our knowing God and learning that God doesn't ask us to clean ourselves up before he touches you or me. Let me say that again. God does not ask us to touch and clean up ourselves before he touches into us. We come to the Lord out of love. But first, Let's pause and let's talk about leprosy. It was a disease that was very common in the first century. Leprosy actually defined this man's life, much like I felt that MRSA defined mine. Leprosy is not a rash on the skin. It begins as a small white dot. But it flames into a disease that literally attacks you from the inside, takes over your cells, and destroys your neurological and nervous system. It wars against your own body, and it will kill you. The average lifespan in the biblical years was 8 to 9 years after somebody developed leprosy. It was a killer. It was a death sentence. This man would have fingers that eventually fall off. His toes and his ears would drop to the ground. His nose would fall off his face. It's graphic. It's horrible, horrible deformity. He'd eventually lose his vocal cords, and at that point, he knew the end was coming near. Eventually, he would go blind. In the days of Jesus was a historian by the name of Josephus, and Josephus wrote that lepers were considered dead people, and as such, they were to be treated as dead people. And so into these crowds of people who have surrounded Jesus as he came down from the mountain comes this man. This man, a leper. This man, dead man, walking. This man would have suffered insufferable pain. By accident, he would burn his flesh when he cooked because he couldn't feel his fingers. But the worst thing, he was an outcast. My little experience with being told by a brother that I couldn't come visit because of a disease is nothing compared to this man. Because this disease was so contagious, the Old Testament law in Leviticus 13 spelled out what his daily life must look like. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, everywhere he goes. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. A leper could not sit on the rock in case somebody who didn't have leprosy wanted to sit on that rock. A leper could not drink from a stream because other people wanted to drink from that stream. Priests viewed leprosy as a punishment from God for moral reasons, a curse from God. The people of God believed that the Lord didn't want to see a leper or even have a relationship with a leper. The leper could not be with people, certainly not up close and personal. Talk about spatial distancing, ostracized and alone, without people to live with, without people to live for, despised, hopeless, forgotten by God. Until one day when Jesus shows up, and this man just had to get to Jesus. He willingly disobeyed the law. He willingly stepped aside of the Torah. He had to get to Jesus. He was compelled with this in his spirit. I've got to get to Jesus. He comes into the midst of people knowing that the law forbade it. He had to get to Jesus. How is it that you and I fit into the story? Let's be real. Let's talk about this. We heard earlier that the Israelites believed that leprosy was a curse from God. Where is the hope in believing when you live under a curse like that? But the truth for us today is that we live under a curse, the curse of sin, And like the leper consumed from the inside out by his disease, our lives can be consumed by sin, the actions and the behavior of sin. In fact, in the Bible, that word leprosy is used synonymously for sin. This is what sin does to a person's life. It's your disease. It's my disease. Sin starts out so innocently, doesn't it? Till it hooks us in. Sin certainly begins as being pleasant, alluring, enjoyable. But as sin grows in our lives, we think about it, we plan for it, we participate in it. We don't like to call it out as sin, do we? Why is that? Because we will do whatever we need to do to step out of the shadow, out of the glare of that ugly word, sin. Let's say it together, sin. How is sin like leprosy? We read about a man whose life is devastated, a man who has to get to Jesus. How is sin like leprosy? Well, leprosy wars your body against itself. Sin does too. Sin invests itself within your heart, within your mind, within your actions and your behavior. When you think of the things that you are responsible for, they all just seemingly come naturally out of you. Things like, I struggle with addiction, anger, lust, anxious thoughts. We don't work on producing any of this, do we? They just seem to flow from us. None of us has a to-do list that says, I'm going to work today on developing my anger. I'm going to read about how to increase my lust. We just seemingly know how to do that. We stand under the curse of sin. We stand under the disease of sin. And those things are in us. Hear me as I say this. They are called the sin nature. Two, just like leprosy cuts you off from relationships with people and with God, sin cuts us off as we live our lives in sin. A leper is told that it is illegal for him to live inside the city. A leper cannot be around people. But sin does that to us also. It makes us want to hide. It entices us to pretend that we are something that we really aren't. False pretenses, false identity. It makes us lie about the things that we have done. Relationships fall apart because of sin. Because of divorce, because of sin, divorce causes ugly breakup of a family. It begins so innocently with that first glance at pornography, sexting, flirting with someone other than your spouse, listening to a co-worker complain about his or her spouse. Because of sin, an addict gets absorbed, yes, into drugs and alcohol, but let's add video games, gambling, food, excessive exercise to that list. Because anything that steals your time and your passion from people and God is called an addiction. Because of sin, people distance from gossipers. Their words have the power to hurt. And as a result, being around a gossiper becomes toxic to the one who's being talked about. And I'm here to proclaim this morning, people, that the sin of being a curmudgeon is not a spiritual gift. We can laugh about it, and we all know who a curmudgeon is. An older person with that innate capacity to what? Complain, blame, and steal someone else's joy. You know somebody like that? I do. Curmudgeons like to tell others, I am just being honest. Curmudgeons like to say, somebody has to tell the truth around this place. But because of sin, people distance from a curmudgeon. Just like leprosy, sin is the thing that cuts you off from relationship with God and people. It affects your heart. It affects my heart. Just like leprosy, you become numb to the effects and the consequences of your sin. Each one of us has an armory of excuses for our behavior, don't we? We will act to protect it. We will act to hide it. I don't want you to know about it. And just like the leper losing physical feeling because of his disease, we build a callus over the God-given ability for us to recognize sin within us, to be quickened in our spirits by doing wrong. Some say our conscience gets seared. Have you ever said to someone, "You look fried"? You guys ever heard me say that? Maybe it's a phrase from the 70s. But it's truth. People begin to wear the effects and the consequences of their sin. Am I doomed? How then about you? How will we ever be free from the curse of sin? So we've talked this morning about the leper's story. We've talked about your story and my story. Let's listen for a moment to God's story. I can feel the itch from the leprosy of sin. Can you? The sin happened almost without my even knowing it because I didn't pay close enough attention in the beginning to that little white spot, the leprosy of sin. This is truth to all of us, believers and unbelievers alike. Jesus touched this man, the leper, and he gave him his life back. Oh, people, he wants to do that for you today. Just like my scenario of my brother not wanting me to come visit, one of our common beliefs is that we cannot come to church until we've cleaned ourselves up, gotten our act together. Have to get over my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups before I can come into church where the holy people hang out. But even more devastating than that, and we've all heard it, is people who say, "I need to clean myself up before I come before God. I need to be cleaned up and have my life together." Before I came to salvation at the age of 25 years old, I felt that way. I worked for about a two-month period of time trying to clean my life up, trying to get my life together, until a girlfriend said, "You can't do it, Beck. Come to Jesus and he'll do it in you." If we are honest in here today, many of us would say that we have heard those statements before, or we have said those statements. Seemingly, we believe that God is disappointed when he looks at me or he looks like you. We believe that God says, "Go clean it up, Beck. Get your life together and then come worship me. Get your thoughts out of your head and then come and we can have a relationship." But I am here to proclaim this morning that if that's something that you believe about God, even on a micro level, then you either understand something about God or you don't know him. It's not who he is. And just like Jesus with that leper, as the hand comes out and says, "Come, come." And he touches and he draws us to him. Listen to me, people. God proclaims over you today a word of hope, not dependent on how well you got your act together, but because of who God is. And the great hope for us comes from Romans 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Without Christ, we are ever so capable of sin. That's who we are. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are infected with the leprosy of sin. But did you catch that word in there? God shows his love for us. Let's do it in the Becky translation, that whoever you are and wherever you are, God loves you so much, that while you were still a sinner, he sent his son Jesus to the cross that you might have life, that you might have forgiveness, that you might have salvation because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have an amen for that one? Amen. In the 20th century, mankind has cured a lot of diseases. My MRSA is at the bottom of the list. Dwayne Metz, if you'll recall, died of a vancomycin-resistant bacteria. It's at the top of the list. As the scientists fight to find an adequate super drug to find it. One thing that mankind has never done is devise a cure for the sin problem. The only cure for the leprosy of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are invited to become a part of God's story. We began with the leper's story, your story, my story, God's story. But God says, come to me. Come be a part of my story. I love you so dearly. God has given us a way. And it is defined by God's love for us. His name is Jesus Christ. The words that we know from John 3:16, say them with me together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life because of that word love. The leper was restored in body. He was restored to family and community life. He was restored spiritually and could once again attend the temple. Jesus wants to do that work for you. Jesus wants to do that work for me. Because of Jesus, sin has lost its grip on you and me. Because of Jesus, the gift of newness of life is before us today. Because of Jesus, the shadow of the curse of sin evaporates on you. It dissipates. It no longer can touch you. If you've got secret sin, if you have sin that is distancing you from your loved ones and your God, it is time, people, to confess it and turn from it. It's time to surrender yourself to Jesus and ask him to touch you. Oh, Jesus, would you make me clean? And Jesus says, I will. As Jesus reaches out and touches you, believers, unbelievers alike, ask the Lord to reach into your heart and clean you up today. Don't wait a moment longer. Don't wait a moment longer. I will lead us in prayer. I invite you to repeat after me as I pray. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I may see you. I need you. Holy Spirit, please reveal to me the sin in my life. Lord Jesus, today I confess my sin of fill in the blank. Please forgive me. I don't want sin in my life anymore. Please help me. Please, Lord Jesus, make me clean. Amen.